Well, hey, everybody, it's Kevin Stevenson. Thanks for joining me on this week's episode of I Don't Care with, me, Kevin Stevenson. My guest this week, I'm a little torn. Christy Fetch is the healthcare vertical market strategy leader for Trane Technologies. Trane, as you know, and I know Trane as HVAC, but Christy's going to tell us a lot more about what they do. But where I'm torn is Christy is a University of Kentucky graduate. And those of you who have been following me for almost 5 years now, know I'm a hardcore Baylor University grad, right? Baylor athletics, you know, that's what I do when I'm not working in the hospital. UK tried to steal our basketball coach, our national championship basketball coach, Scott Drew, just about a month ago. So Christy, first of all, welcome to I Don't Care. Second of all, I'm a little miffed at you.
I know, but you kept him.
We kept him.
We couldn't entice him away from that neon yellow if we had to.
Absolutely. You know, we built the Foster Pavilion, you know, just for Scott. And we're happy that he's staying. So anyway.
Well, Christy, I would like to say he obviously showed how loyal he is to the organization and to his fan base. So
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He's a super guy.
You know, we've got the post, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. And good luck to y'all with your new coach as well. So anyway, I've set you up here. Like I said, you know, I'm sure my viewers and listeners know all about Trane from an HVAC standpoint from their homes. But I really didn't have any idea how truly embedded you guys were, you know, in the commercial side, but seriously in the healthcare side. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So one, thank you for having me. I really do appreciate the opportunity to share, you know, who are we and why is Trane someone that you want to have a conversation with on your healthcare podcast? So, that is so typical that someone will say, oh, I have a Trane at my home, or the slogan, it's hard to stop a Trane. And while those are so powerful and we're so appreciative of that residential side, we have an enormous presence in the commercial building side and specifically healthcare. And so where I like to talk about to start to kind of set the grounds is when you look at a hospital, or any clinical space, could be ambulatory care, whatever you're looking at in a clinical space, you're thinking of what services can you provide for your patients. But what you don't realize is behind the wall, there exists equipment and controls that is critical to those patient care services. And so I like to picture it of your clinical space has a big X through it and doesn't work and can't provide care if all of this infrastructure and assets behind the wall, if those aren't working. And so that's really how I like to kind of set the stage and how we come into this conversation.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, yeah, as chief operating officer here, everything that from the back office or the backside reports up through me, and particularly facilities and the OR as well as cath lab. And so we're always talking about temps and humidity. And, you know, I learned a few years ago that there is a sweet spot for both, you know, that that we have to maintain to prevent infections, to keep, honestly, to keep the surgeons and the surgical team comfortable. And so, you know, that was a little bit of a surprise for me early in my career. So talk a little bit about that, you know, how you guys impact that and help us on the hospital ops side, make sure that, you know, we keep running.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there is a fine line, right, of you have an accrediting body that's governing you, right, that's saying, mm-hmm. here are these parameters for air and temperature and or for air changes and humidity. And so you've got to meet these parameters. But then you have, say, an orthopedic surgeon who's completely garbed up and doing some really heavy work saying, make it colder.
We've talked to our surgeons already. I can tell.
Yeah, absolutely. And so a funny story is This is an aside, but I had a hospital that I was working with, and we wrote a program, a controls building automation program, and we called it Dr. Freeze because we knew that he was going to be, and he was going to be operating on these days, and he was an orthopedic surgeon. Yeah. And so we had to have the system react for meeting his needs. But you're right, on the compliance side, it is keeping those parameters that not only for, you know, say Joint Commission or DNV or whomever your accrediting agency might be, but also if you have to adhere to state and local government, right, what their policies are that they are putting in. And so TRAIN typically gets categorized in this foundation of creating, creature comfort and space cooling. But we have technology and digital services that really support the actual operating space, the clinical spaces, even just your patient rooms, right? And so we want your building to be an asset. And how do you do that? It is compliance based. And how do we help make that less of a manual process? I don't know how in your tenure, if I've seen where people have carried around white three-ring binders and had to make note. And why do they do that? Because from a compliance standpoint, they have to make note of when the rooms go out of compliance. And sometimes those patients have to be followed to see is infection brought on or things of that nature. And so there's really a context of life or death to this, because if the air handler goes down and shuts off, you cannot perform surgeries. You cannot perform life-saving tasks. And so I say compliance is really combined with resiliency. And how can we support you and support healthcare to have uninterrupted patient care ultimately at the end of the day? Because I think there's a lot of terms for the building, right? But you've got physical environment, what kind of the facilities folks call it, right? But then really it boils down to it's a healing environment or an environment of care. And so it's figuring out how do you meet the needs, but how do you use the facility to support your bottom line, right?
Yeah, and I was going to say, I appreciate that, you know, and you bringing up the term resiliency. I mean, that really, that hits the nail on the head, because we've been talking a lot about the specialized care areas, but that extends to, you mentioned patient care areas, but just common areas too. And, down here in Texas, we've got such wide temperature swings and wide humidity swings. We had Snowmageddon a couple of years ago, which I didn't think I'd ever have to deal with again after moving from Kentucky and Nebraska, where I'd been before. So we dealt with that. But then, a typical summer here in Texas, we're going to hit 115, 116 degrees with ridiculous humidity. And so balancing that, not only for the specialized care areas, but for the entire house, and making sure that, our staff and our patients and visitors are comfortable, is a constant battle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so you bring up that you're in Texas. And so, there was a Snowmageddon, right? And then there were these blackouts in these areas, and you say, okay, but I'm a hospital. I have to have power. I have to provide care 24/7. And really, in a time of need, whether it's natural disaster or other, people look to the hospitals and say, that's our refuge. That's where we want to go. And so at TRAIN, a lot of people don't even realize that we are a NAESCO certified energy services provider. We're a recognized Department of Energy qualified energy services provider. And we've been that for decades. And
what does that mean?
Yeah, let me stop you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, so basically it means we are there to help you in a holistic approach. And we're there to bring ideas outside of, let's just look at this one piece of equipment and do it like for like. But maybe there's a better way, right? If we take a step back and we say, what's the intended use of the space? maybe it was designed one way and then now it's been repurposed. It's thinking of things like, are there federal monies out there to help you? Is there a way to use energy savings to pay for replacement of some of this antiquated infrastructure? And so it's really about being creative, about being a partner to understand your business and understand how critical it is and understand what you need to service it, right? What do you need? How can we be an extension of your team? And so being an energy services company, we're able to bring you solutions both from a equipment, building automation, innovations, right? Renewables, and looking at funding for you and saying, here are the opportunities of whether it's legislation or grants, rebates. So there's just an opportunity to really look at things holistically. And I really believe that's what an energy services provider should do for a client, whether it's healthcare or otherwise.
That's very cool. I mean, you know, in my facility, we're about around 35 years old. And so, you know, we've added on a little bit like most hospitals do. And so, you know, finding that balance for the environment is a constant struggle for my facilities folks. And so it's nice to hear, you know, kind of the direction that Trane has taken. Let's talk about sustainability now, because, you know, healthcare is being held to new sustainability goals as well. How can you at Trane help healthcare organizations achieve those goals?
Yeah. So one, you know, around the nation, sustainability or decarbonization, they can be some dirty words, right? It's like we can't do that. We can't focus on that right now. It can't be our number one priority. Patient care, patient safety, that should be number one. Completely agree. And then you have financial stability, right? I mean, we're in a position where rural hospitals are closing because they can't keep their financial stability. And so what I like to do is show how decarbonization or sustainability can be used as a business strategy. How can it turn, you know, you have, when you're looking at healthcare, you have three options on your revenue. You have increasing your HCAHPS scores or patient satisfaction scores. You can cut cost and do a cost measures there, or you have to create a new revenue stream. And so what I challenge people to think of is, how could your building impact a little bit of all three of those? And so there is an EPA statistic, and some CFOs will agree with this, some will challenge it. I'm just repeating what the EPA has said, but for nonprofit hospitals, $1 in energy saved is equivalent to $20 in revenue. That's kind of a staggering number, right?
Yeah, and it really is.
I think everybody's accounting is going to be a little bit different and what that might mean. But what I like to think of is, instead of sending that dollar to the utility company, if you kept it in your business and in your organization, what could you do? What more patient care could you provide? What infrastructure could you update? So when I say sustainability and decarbonization, kind of take it a step back. You know, those terms are kind of used interchangeably, but it's really about reducing your carbon footprint. And carbon footprint is just how much greenhouse gas emissions are you putting out there. But healthcare is in this just really wild space right now around external pressures for what I'm going to go with is called decarbonization. You kind of alluded to it, but in June of 2022, the White House worked with the Department of Health and Human Services, and they went through and they created a health sector climate pledge. And so it was reaching out and saying, okay, hospitals and healthcare networks in the U.S., we want to challenge you to reduce your emissions by 50% by 2030. Please sign on, come on board, right? Okay. So you're like, wow, that's interesting, but that's voluntary. And then you see in July of 2022, the Joint Commission, they signed on to that pledge. Okay, so my opinion, the Joint Commission doesn't have buildings. So where will they get their carbon footprint reduction from, right? So there poses a challenge. They also created their own decarbonization task force internally. And then in January of this year, the Joint Commission, they launched the sustainable healthcare certification. So you can actually get a certificate for your carbon footprint reduction through the Joint Commission.
Interesting.
Then you add on. I mean, this just keeps adding on, Kevin, and adding on. So then the
and you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, it starts voluntary, but then once it hits Joint Commission, we're all subjected to that, you know, regardless of the resources that we have to meet those goals. Fortunately, you know, my hospital, we're part of a large system, you know, across the country, and so, you know, we have those resources. But you know, you were talking earlier about, you know, rural hospitals closing all over the country, and particularly here in Texas, we are losing a number of our rural hospitals each and every year because they're, you know, financially, it's just not viable for them to stay open.
Absolutely, and so one thing that I would before we leave this mm-hmm. conversation, I'd want to add that something really large was announced in April of this year, April 2024. The Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, they've launched a decarbonization and resiliency initiative. So CMS, your reimbursement avenue, is now talking about decarbonization. They've put in a voluntary initiative that starts January of 2026, and it's a 5-year initiative. So really it's thinking through after the 5 years, what happens? Is it still voluntary? And so when I talk to healthcare clients or just folks in the industry, healthcare is at a crossroads where they have to decide, do you want this to happen to you? Or do you want to make a plan and start now? And so, and that's where you have to decide, how do you use this to your advantage? And I think specifically in rural health, right? The Hill-Burton Act built a lot of these rural health care facilities. And so they're 1940s, 1950s in original facilities, and then they've built on. And so it's thinking through, okay, I don't have a brand new facility. I don't have the brand new shiny equipment and controls and the opportunity that those might bring. So how do I leverage what I have? And it's through reinvestment. And it's through, like I said, instead of taking that money and sending it to the utility company, creating a space for it internally and saving and creating savings internally.
Interesting. Well, you kind of had the segue to the next area that I want to talk about, and that's in and around budget adherence, because, you know, you were talking about, I like that. I'll have to ask my CFO about that ratio.
Yeah, please do. Report back to me.
Yeah, right. But you know, I mean, I remember early on in my career, my gosh, hospitals had initiatives where, you know, you put a sticker on every light switch. If you leave the room, turn the light off. You know, that was kind of the beginning of energy conservation, I think. But now we've got to take it a step further because, you know, healthcare reimbursements aren't growing regardless of the number of patients that we have. And so we've just got to be a lot more efficient in how we operate. And one of the big things, obviously, that we have, I mean, we expend a lot of capital and a lot of our expense dollars in and around our facility. And so we have to do a lot better job of that, being much more efficient and effective with how we handle that. So how can you guys help us with that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So so a couple of factors there. So one, I'd like to start with the energy spend, right? So a very simple starting point is tracking your utility bill information. You would be surprised the number of fees that are tacked onto there and late fees that maybe you didn't even realize you were paying or things that you don't even know. And one, understanding, you know, having a partner help you understand, are you even on the right rate structure? So, you know, there's an energy cost and there's an energy use piece to energy efficiency. And so it's really looking at the cost side of it, how are you spending your money, right? So instead of letting the building tell you how it's running and then you just pay the utility bill, what if you change some of the behaviors that the building was doing and you were able to automate those? So, in Texas and other places, what you look at is this demand piece. This is, if you think of a dashboard in a car, you've got your odometer and that's your consumption piece. It's just turning, the meter's just turning. And that's usually your cheapest energy. But then you have this demand piece and it's similar to your RPMs, right? So you're just cruising along, but then you have to punch it. Well, when you punch it, you hit this max and the utility company says, well, you used it at one point, at one instance, so we have to be prepared to provide that to you at any given time. So they charge a premium. And so sometimes that can be $15 per unit, all the way up to $50 per unit. And so it's figuring out how do you reduce that, reduce both pieces. And some of that looks like technology that says, hey, there's this really cool technology that says, let's make ice at night and we'll melt it during the day. So that now we're making water, chilled water, but we're making ice at night when it's cheaper, when the energy is cheaper. So there's just things about like looking at the building and what the usage profile looks like. It's looking at, how can we support the staff? I think that sustainability and energy, sometimes they, it can be like, oh, this is this foreign thing, or we can just buy some credits and we'll get some opportunity from that. But that doesn't do anything for your actual facility. So it's looking at, is there a renewable technology that makes sense for your facility? And by the way, can you leverage money and grants that are out there to do so? And then it's overall just looking at the overall operation, I think. I think building automation is severely overlooked because it can support compliance and it can support operations. I think that that's a critical piece to helping on your energy journey. So I think you start with benchmarking, figuring out where you are. Energy Star Portfolio Manager is a great place to really, it's a free resource to go out there and help you get a baseline.
Okay.
But then there's also just, when you talked about your facility being, 30 some odd years old. Well, with that, that was your facility, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure that. So you talked about that. What kind of recommissioning could you do? Could you just go through the building and say, man, I bet things are in override, or I bet we've changed some things of way the equipment's set up. Can we just go through and just kind of get things back in order? Let's start there and start saving. So there's little things. It doesn't have to be these enormous undertaking. Train offers a consultative approach to helping clients with their energy journeys and their decarbonization journeys. And so I think it's important because we leverage data and we leverage the understanding of the building, but then we want to understand your priorities and your goals, right? Not every facility is the exact same. And so I think that's important because a rural hospital versus an urban hospital may have two different types of priorities. And so I think it's just important. So our consultative approach through using data and technology and our people is the biggest part because we want to be an extension of your team. And so I think that that's how we approach it.
Very cool. Any last words over our last couple of minutes, Christy? This has been fascinating. Wow.
I've
learned a lot more about facilities and environment in the last 25 minutes than I ever thought. So
that's hilarious. Well, I'm glad because I'm very passionate about it. I think that
I can tell.
This is something that really is important. As someone who has been in the hospital and who has, seen in the ORs, it's very important that quality of care exists and that it's uninterrupted. But I guess I would end on, the Inflation Reduction Act is really a once in a lifetime. The updates that they made in 2022 really is a once in a lifetime funding opportunity for healthcare and nonprofits specifically. So I think that should be really considered. There's two specific entities that I would look at in there, one for a technology piece and one for an energy efficiency piece. And happy to put the details in the story there or in the storyline. And then also there's lots of grants out there and legislation around energy savings projects. And so think about LED is kind of like this flashy item that says, oh, let's just do that and we'll save energy. Okay. Sometimes it works in healthcare spaces and sometimes it doesn't. But if you look at that, consider bundling it with a more robust investment that maybe doesn't have as great a payback. Can you bundle it to take advantage of some of those savings? I think the biggest piece is just taking a step back from your building, looking at your facility plans and saying, you know, I have probably a lot of deferred maintenance that has happened over the years. How do we address that? Because lending agencies are looking at deferred maintenance and average age of plant. Those are risk factors.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So how do you address those while ensuring the compliance and resiliency?
Well, very cool. Christy, this has been, like I said, it's been fascinating.
You know, thank you.
You know, a lot of things you said, I wish my facilities guy was here because I'd be looking at him like, what did you mean? But anyway, you even explained it to, you know, down to my level, and I greatly appreciate that. So how can people get a hold of you if they'd like some more information on Terrain Services?
Yeah, absolutely. So feel free to reach out to me directly at my email or on LinkedIn. So it's Christy, Christy, dot Fetch, Fetsch, at Terrain, Terrain.com. And please go to our website. We can put that here in the body as well. And I'm happy just to have a conversation. I'd love, you know, if people have input on the equivalent revenue, right? If they have thoughts on that, happy to discuss it always and just continue to learn myself.
Fantastic. Christy Fetch, the healthcare vertical market strategy leader for Terrain Technologies. Thanks so much for being on I Don't Care. This has been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thank you. Should I say go Cats?
You can say go Cats. It's fine. I was thinking about how could I make you feel a little bit better because I pretty much hit you hard in the beginning. But I'll let you say go Cats because Scott Drew stayed here with us later.
So. Okay.
Congratulations on all of your successes in the past. And I've always been kind of a closet Kentucky fan, except when you played Baylor. So there you go.
Okay. I'm with you.
All right. Take care. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, folks. Another episode of I Don't Care is in the books. And thanks so much for joining us. And we'll see you again next week. Take care.